stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the IBM OneView OneCommand Simplify IMS conference call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, for opening remarks and introductions, I'll turn the call over to Diane McCollum. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Welcome, everybody, to OneView OneCommand Simplify IMS. My name is Diane McCollum, and I am the worldwide sales leader for IBM's DB2 for Z and DB2 and IMS tools. I will be your host today. We are lucky to have speakers today from IBM and from Satech Software. The first is Janet LeBlanc, an IMS Tools Consulting Technical Sales Advocate for the Development Lab. And with her today is Gary Heimerl, an IMS Tools Developer from Satech Software, an IBM Business Partner. Now I'd like to turn it over to Janet. Janet?
Good morning. How we're going to do this, everyone, I believe, has downloaded the presentation. And as I'm running through the presentation, I will let you know what page I'm on. And if you look at the presentation, you'll see on the bottom left-hand corner, there should be a page number. So we're going to start now on page 2. And I'll review what we'll be doing it for the agenda. How I'll start is I'll review what our objectives are of the of this call, what we're going to try to accomplish. I'll do a very brief product overview, and then we'll run through the problem scenarios and how we can solve these issues. We move to slide 3. Which is titled, How Do You Manage IMS in an IMS Environment? Sysplex environments have provided us with increased hardware flexibilities. We can add, remove capacity as we need, our needs dictate. While we have this increased flexibility, however, there's some new management issues. Changes to applications and databases now need to be propagated across the Sysplex. The challenge we have is that we need to ensure that all of these commands execute successfully in all of the Sysplex. In addition, we need to be able to handle both in batch and in an interactive or ISPS environment. Frequently, we have the situation where we have batch processes that need to ensure the availability of databases. The ability to issue a slash DBR in a batch job and know that it's executed successfully is very useful in today's complex environment. Our environments are further complicated in that we need to be able to deal with multiple transaction environments to process commands in a DB control, DC control, or DBDC regions. Also, as we issue commands in various environments, the output is in various places, so we have logs in multiple places to look. The ability to be able to have to look in only one place will simplify our environment. Moving to slide 4. So now I'll briefly review the highlights of Command Control Facility. Command Control Facility allows us to be able to synchronize online change and database commands across all regions. Allows us to be able to ensure that we have successful processing of start, stop, DBR, DBD commands. Lets us execute the IMS commands from a batch utility or in TSO via an ISPF interface or from a callable application program interface. Able to issue commands for DB control, DC control, or a DBDC region. Lets us keep the members of an IMS Plex synchronized by storing commands that failed because the IMS environment was down, perhaps, and allow us to be able to issue those stored commands at the IMS startup time. Allows us to provide a view of combined messages from different IMS tasks using an ISPF interface. And lets us provide a view of combined messages from IMS systems running in different ZOS systems. Now moving to slide 5. As we go through discussing different problems and how we can solve them, We're going to be working with a sample IMS Plex configuration, and this is the sample that I'm going to work with. In here we have two IMS systems that participate in an IMS shared message queues and database block level data sharing. In this case, because they share the staging data sets, we're assuming that the systems are clones of each other, but that they use their own set of runtime libraries, so ACB Live, mod blocks, and format. Moving to slide six. When we're making changes to the runtime libraries, it's important that these changes are installed at the same time. So we have a command processor, a command called /ccfmod command, which allows us to be able to synchronize online changes across all the members of the IMS Plex. Moving to slide seven. So the /ccfmod processing allows us to be able to have all of these commands executed one at a time to each member of the IMS Plex. There's four phases to this change procedure. The first phase, we do a /display modify all. And then the second phase is a /modify prepare, and depending on the type that we're trying to process. And then the third phase is another /display modify all. In this phase, we're looking for the string no work pending. If this character string is not returned, Command Control Facility will retry the /display all command until we receive that string, or until we've hit a number of retries that have been specified. And this control of how many times we do the retry is under user control. If we do not receive the no work pending, then Command Control Facility will issue a /mod abort for all the members of the IMS Plex. Now, phase four, of course, is if we have received the no work pending on the members, then at that time we will do a /mod commit. Moving to slide eight. I have here a sample JCL for a batch execution for an online update of the ACB Live. On the execute live line, we state that we're performing an ACB Live update to the group GRPI9. This is a previously defined command control facility group, which includes IMSI and IMS9. And later on in the presentation, we'll show you how we can create these groups. Moving to slide nine. Here's the results from the JCL we just executed to implement the new ACB Live. We can see on the top where we provide the contents of group I9. Also in this case, APPC is in use as the communications medium between the IMS environments. We next see the control card that was specified in the JCL, a /ccfmod ACB Live. And as we explained on the previous slide, the first task that's performed is a /display all on IMSI. We'll now page down to see the rest of the output. So on slide 10, we can see the /modify all is issued for IMS9. And if the /display modify all failed for any member of this CCF group, the command would be retried on the failed IMS a user-specified number of times with a user-specified time interval in between each retry. Since the /display modify all was successful for all the members of the CCF group, we'll now follow with the /mod prepare ACB Live, as we can see at the bottom of this page. Moving to slide 11, when Command Control Facility now issues the slash modify all for IMSI, we'll see at the bottom of that report a no work pending, which is giving us the go-ahead. And if we move to the next page, we'll see the status for IMS-9. So moving to slide 12, the third line down, we see the no work pending, which is the continuation from the previous page. And now this is going to give us the go-ahead to issue the slash mod commit to both IMSI and IMS-9. At the bottom of this page, we see a CCF0340I indicating that the online change function was successful. Now, if we move to slide 13, we look at the situation that, of course, life is not always that simple. We don't always have an online change work perfectly. We have the possibility that one of the targeted IMS systems might be unavailable. There might be active work that's in progress due to a long-running update. This could be as a result of an active conversation or a BMP that's using the database that's being changed. Command Control Facility provides assistance in this that allows you to ensure that the change does not proceed unless all the members of the IMS Plex are available. In addition, we provide a kill conversation parameter to allow you to discard any conversations that are preventing a successful online change, keeping in mind that this is an optional parameter and would not occur unless you feel it's appropriate in your environment. Moving to the next slide. Now on slide 14, we're now going to look at what happens with our example if we do have an environment that is unavailable. In this case, we're going to look at what would happen if IMSI is unavailable. Moving to slide 15, as before, we're going to perform a slash display modify all on IMSI, which, as we saw in our previous diagram, is unavailable. In this case, an error was encountered when Command Control Facility attempted the command on IMSI. The message you'll receive back will list the return and reason codes that CCF received from ATPC. In this case, the ATB70027I message describes the reason for the failure, which in this case is that the IMSI is not available. Moving to slide 16, the first message on the screen is part of the last error message for IMSI, and we can ignore it. Then CCF performs the slash display modify all on IMS-9, which is available. But because IMSI was unavailable, CCF will not move to the next stage. For this particular job, the CCF retry number option was set to 0. Otherwise, it would have retried the command on IMSI. The CCF0330E is issued, which indicates an error in the online change process and that the function will terminate. So now let's look at an example where the IMS environments are available, but we have an active transaction. And in this case, the transaction is IVTZCV, which probably are difficult letters to understand in a conversation. So moving to slide 18, again, we're submitting the same job as before. So we do a slash display modify all for IMS-9. And in this case, we see the transaction ICTCV, a conversational transaction, is preventing the update. So CCF will issue message indicating that an error has occurred. So we'll get CCF0332E. And then a modified abort processing has been initiated. So then we'll have a slash mod abort. It's going to be performed on all members of the CCF group. Again, we can configure to retry our slash display modify all, but in this case we have it set to zero so that we can demonstrate what occurs when we have an error. So moving to slide 19, we're going to change our job now. So we're going to look at what happens if we add the parameter kill conversation. So K-I-L-L-C-O-N-V, if you look at the last line of the JCL. So moving to slide 20. We'll now see what happens after this job executes. So again, we start by performing a slash display modify all. And again, we see that transaction IVT-CV. But now CCF reacts by performing a slash stop user LTERM1 followed by a slash start user LTERM1, and once CCF has removed all the conversations, it will now issue the slash display modify all again, and if we move to slide 21, we'll see that occur. So now that we have on slide 21, now that we've removed the offending transaction, CCF again performs the slash modify all, and we get a no work pending, which is what we need to be able to proceed. And then we see the slash modify commit is performed on both IMSI and IMS9, and we get a successful completion. So moving to slide 22, when we look into batch jobs, why we have database allocation failures. Utility jobs frequently have a need for exclusive access to the databases. When the database is unavailable, this will cause the batch job to fail due to the allocation failure. This can be caused by the database still being allocated to an online IMS environment, or another subsystem has the database open with update intent. CCF gives us the ability to be able to issue and verify commands. So we'll interpret the response to commands that stop, start, DBR, and DBD commands. Of course, that's not enough. If the command fails, you don't want your job to fail. So we give you the ability to retry the failed commands. You can specify how many tries you want to do, and how much time you want to occur between the retries. Perhaps what you want to ensure a valid sync point, that nothing is updating the database. CCF can also optionally call DBRC to see if a particular database is open to any subsystem with update intent. Moving to slide 23. When we first install command control facility, you're going to need to perform some customization. And this customization entails creating an options data set and defining your IMS configuration. You also need to set some global runtime options and, if desired, some job name specific options. And this is in general just a one-time task. So if we move to slide 24, we'll now take a look at what happens with the product when we're looking at the ISPF environment. And we'll start by looking at the customization, which is performed using the ISPF dialog. So if we go to choose option 1 and we move to slide 25, this is the first screen of the global options update. This is the screen that we'll get anytime we enter option 1 from the main screen. And if you notice on the upper right-hand corner, there's a more specified, which is indicating there's additional screens. PF7 and PF8 can be used to scroll through the panels. And looking specifically at this screen, some of the options that are on here are global options are in effect for all jobs. Others can be specified here, but also can be optionally overridden using job name specific options. On this screen, the first three fields contain global options that are in effect for all jobs and cannot be overridden. And this is the CCF input DD name and the CCF output DD name and the APPC / STCTP name. The first two options are to allow you to simplify conversion from perhaps a locally developed AOI program. So this is allowing you to choose your own DD names for the input and output, so that if you already had something in place, that you could continue to use the same input and output DDs. The APPC / STCTP name is used only for IMS regions that use APPC MVS for the command routing technique. Now looking down below that, we'll now look at the options that are perhaps more interesting. The command retry option lets you specify how many times you want to retry commands. And the interval between retries is how much time you want to occur. So in this case, we're saying that we want to do 2 retries and that we want 2 seconds to elapse in between the retries. The append / return code settings are used to terminate batch jobs that fail due to routing or DFS 0488i errors. This allows us to be able to specify what the append code and the return code should be. The types of failures that Command Control Facility is designed to detect fall into 4 categories. General is the type of errors that would occur in input command failures for CCF editing, so things within CCF control. Routing tends to be the type of error that occurs because an IMS system is unavailable. DFS 0488i. This error would occur if the database or area command is issued, but CCF does not receive a DFS 0488i with an acceptable return code for the areas, for the database or areas. DBRC, this error would occur if after a / DBD or / DBR command, a subsystem still has a database open with update intent. With these options, you have the ability to tell Command Control Facility how to handle each type of error condition. Moving to slide 26, we're now looking at the second screen of the global options customization. The next section, the / CCF mods options, allows you to be able to instruct CCF what to do if a coordinated online change process encounters an error. If it fails, the batch job is going to be terminated. The only option is whether the job terminates with a non-zero return code or if it's abandoned. The next option allows you to instruct Command Control Facility how to handle the condition where a / mod commit fails after it was successful on at least one other IMS. So if a /CCF mod commit reversal is specified, CCF will undo the online change on the systems where the /mod commit was successful. The next section are the CCF options that pertain to the database area commands. The first option specifies the return codes to this DFS0488I message that CCF should consider to be valid or acceptable. So if Command Control Facility receives any one of the listed return codes that you edit and specify, it will treat the command as being successful. Moving to slide 27, when IMS Operations Manager is used for the command routing technique, IMS does not return the DFS0488I message. Operations Manager sets a return code that indicates whether a database area command was successful. This option specifies which non-zero return codes we want to be considered as successful. The next option, /startdbaccess, is intended for an IMS sysplex that participates in database level data sharing. That is, that a database is updated on a single system and used for read or read only on others. For this type of environment, databases are quite often put into a read only status in the IMS systems using the /startdbaccess-read-only to allow batch jobs to update the database. After batch processing completes, the database should be put back into update status in the appropriate IMS system. When this option is used and a /startdbaccess-up is read, CCF will determine the correct access for each system and build the required commands. The WTO database command specifies whether or not batch jobs are to write database area commands to the ZOS log. The expand data group commands is used to instruct CCF to perform DFS0488I verification on the commands that use the data group keyword. When this option is not active, no verification will take place for commands using the data group keyword. The next option, IMS issues the message DFS3466I when a parameter on the command is not a valid database area. This allows you to specify whether or not you want to treat this as an error or not. CCF can be customized to add an NOFEOV parameter to the /dbr and /dbd commands. This option would be only used for batch jobs. When APPC is used as a command routing technique, IMS does not return the DFS0488I message for the database area commands. In that case, we will interrogate the IMS control blocks and create a CCF0488I message indicating whether or not the command was successful. When using the database pre-scan option, CCF will interrogate the control blocks to see if the database area is already in the desired state. In that case, the command can be bypassed, thereby reducing the CPU overhead on the IMS and recon accesses. Now we'll move to slide 28, continuing on the configuration. The IMS update screen is displayed when you select option 2. This is used to define the IMS system to command control facility. An IMS record must be created for each IMS where CCF is to route commands. The most significant item in defining an IMS is determining which command routing technique to use. CCF supports three command routing techniques, APPC, / IMS, APPC / MVS, and the IMS Operations Manager. These fall into two categories, APPC and IMS Operations Manager. If IMS Operations Manager is selected as the command routing technique, all IMS systems that are part of a group must not only use Operations Manager, but they must use the same Operations Manager for the command routing technique. If APPC is used, all IMS systems in a CCF group must use any combination of APPC / IMS and or APPC / MVS. When the CCF batch command processor runs as an IMS BMP, the default CCF group is used to determine which IMS systems to route the command. The IMS system information is used only when the start DB access option in the global record is set to use sysgen. Command control facility provides an optional AOI exit DFS A0E00. If this is used, the CCF AOI exit can be used to write a combined message log that contains messages, commands, and command responses destined for the master terminal, and it also provides a table that can be used to suppress messages. Moving to slide 29. On this screen, this is where we can define the CCF IMS groups. It's a very simple process. You choose the name that you want for your group, whether or not they're shared recons, and you list the IMS IDs. On slide 30, we're now going to take a look at what happens when we do a batch DBR. Now, of course, if this was your job, you probably would have subsequent steps that would contain the process that you want to accomplish. In this job, in the / CCF sysndd, we have a control card that specifies the command to be issued. On the exec line, we have a parameter that states the command is to be issued against group I9, which, as we've seen in previous examples, contains IMSI and IMS9. Moving to slide 31. We'll now look at the output for this job where the database is found to be used. CCF issues a / DBR on IMSI and it completes OK. CCF then issues a / DBR on IMS9. In this case, another process has the database DBIZT1. So then CCF issues a message indicating that the DBR was unsuccessful and what the offending PSB, in this case, ICTRAN. So let's go on to the next slide to see what happens next. On slide 32, in this example, we specified that we want two retries. As we can see in this output, each attempt is met with failure. Since the maximum number of retries have been attempted, CCF terminates with the error message that the maximum retries were reached, the CCF 0357E. And the database, just for a note, we did do a DBR at IMSI, and that was successful, and the database does remain DBR'd on IMSI. On slide 33, now let's take a look at what happens when we don't have any problems. So in this case, we do the DBR, database on IMSI, and it completes OK, and then the DBR and IMS9, and we have a completed process. So moving to slide 34, this is the remainder of the output from the previous command. In this case, the DBRC verification option was requested, and CCF ensured that the database wasn't open to any subsystem with update intent, and the DBRC validation was successful. Moving to slide 35. When we're dealing with the interactive operations of an IMS Plex, the things that we have to deal with are, how are we going to display or update resources in multiple IMS regions? Or dealing with displaying or update resources in regions that are in a different ZOS complex. And being able to execute multiple commands to perform a single task. The Command Control Facility ISPF interface allows you to be able to execute commands to a specific IMS or to a group of IMSs on any ZOS images. And it also allows you to issue a single Command Control Facility command to perform a list of IMS commands. So moving to slide 36, we're going to go in and take a look at how we would accomplish that. And what we're looking at here is the CCF main menu, and I'll briefly review what each of the options allows you to do. We've already looked at option 1, which allowed us to set the global options. Option 2 allows us to do the same thing but specify the options for specific jobs. Option 3 allows us to define IMS systems. Option 4, which we've seen, allowed us to define CCF groups. Option 5 allows us to be able to remove commands from a CCF store forward data set. This allows us to be able to save commands when an IMS system is unavailable. There is a CCF BMP that would run immediately at IMS restart time that would read this data set and process the saved commands. And we use this to keep our IMS systems in sync. Option 6 allows us to be able to update the table that instructs CCF on how certain messages should be processed. It allows us to suppress messages from either the CCF combined message log and or the IMS master terminal. Additionally, the message can be routed to an AOI token. Option 7 lets us look at the combined message log. And option C is where we can go to be able to issue ISPF commands, and this is where we're going to go to now. We're going to look at three different command examples. So on slide 37, we're now at the screen that lets us issue command to a specific IMS or IMS group. In this example, my command is going to apply to IMSI. With this interface, I also have wildcarding capability, as we're showing it with this command, and we're going to do a slash display program I asterisk. So we want to see all the programs that start with I. And as we can see in the output, that is what we see. If there was more output than could fit on this screen, it would be scrollable, so I could just scroll down and see the remainder. On the next slide, on 38, we're now looking at issuing a command that's going to a group, so group I9. And if you recall, group I9 had IMSI and IMS9. And as we can see below, the display QTran is being issued against IMSI and IMS9. Moving to slide 39. We're now again going after displaying commands, displaying in this case two databases, again against group I9 and the flash display database, both databases being listed on both for INSI and then followed by INS9. On slide 40, we're often in the position of having a series of commands to enter. And while this is something that we can handle quite comfortably in a batch environment, it can become somewhat tedious if we're dealing with an ISPS environment. So we have the ability to create a command control facility command list. Be able to create a proc that has a list of commands in the ISPS environment. So looking at slide 41, we're now issuing a group command to IMS9, and so we have a slash CCF proc, and the commands that are then issued down below. So we have the slash stop user LTERM1, followed by a slash DQ user LTERM purge, and then a slash start user LTERM1. So in that way that if there's established sets of commands that we often do together, that we have the ability to be able to do that in a simple manner. On slide 42, when we're dealing with trying to figure out what's happened in an environment, we have multiple places to search for the messages and commands. Where is the message displayed? The control region, ZOS log, the IMS secondary master terminal, or IMS DLI ZOS log. In an IMS Plex, which system encountered the actual problem? And what commands did a certain user ID execute? These are all the things that we tend to try to look for. Command Control Facility message log allows us to be able to take the IMS system messages, and messages destined for the IMS master are written to a ZOS log stream. All IMS commands and command responses that are presented to the AOI exit are also written to the same ZOS log stream. And multiple IMS systems can also use the same log stream in a single ZOS message. If the log stream is defined to the coupling facility, multiple ZOS images can use the same log. So moving to slide 43, we're back to the CCF main menu again. So now we're going to go take a look at the combined message log, option 7. Slide 44. In this screen is used to select which ZOS logger log stream you want to look at. In this sample, both IMS8 and IMS9 use the same stream. So if I select the IMS9 CCF logger and we move to slide 45, we now move to a screen that allows us to filter the data we want to view. We can choose to view the messages, command responses for a particular IMS, a specific IMS operations manager, a specific user ID, and or a date and time range. Moving to slide 46, this is a sample listing of the CCF log data. This particular output shows commands and messages from IMSI and IMS9. You can scroll to the right to obtain the remainder of the message text. The screen can also be refreshed and new messages can be viewed by hitting the Enter key. And as you can see, since this logger contains data for IMS I and IMS 9, we're seeing both of them on the screen. Excuse me. On slide 47, we now see the same output as on the previous screen, except now we scroll to the right. On slide 48, we're now have gone back to the filter screen. We're now going to filter based on the IMS ID, and we'll enter IMS 9. So if we now move to slide 49, we now have the same from the same logger file, but now we'll only get the messages for IMS 9, as we can see on the screen. Command Control Facility gives us some very excellent functionality that allows us to be able to provide a batch and ISPF command interface, retry and abandon control, allows you the ability to propagate commands, and a one-stop log. On slide 51, if you want to get more information on Command Control Facility, I've listed here the link that gets directly to a Command Control Facility information. Or if you want information on other DB2 or IMS tools, I also have the link to allow you to go there. And now with slide 52, we're now at the question and answer period. Operator, if you want to start the Q&A session.
Thank you. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. To ask a question, you may do so by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Keep in mind that if you were using a speakerphone, to depress your mute function to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that's star 1 if you have a question or a comment. We'll pause for just a moment to assemble the queue. Our first question will come from Katrina Wilson with IBM.
Hi. I have a question about, I guess I've learned more about this today, but I was trying to understand maybe the difference between the SPOT, the single point of control that was also supposed to be able to use for command processing.
Gary, do you want to take this question?
Sure. SPOT requires you to have the operations manager. If you have an environment that doesn't want to create all the new address spaces, the operations manager and the SCI type address spaces, you can use APPC MVS or APPC IMS with CCF. CCF has the batch components, which I don't believe are available in SPOC, where we retry failed commands and you specify how many times you want to retry it and what you want to do when commands fail or when they're successful. I don't believe any of those options are available in the SPOC.
Okay. Okay, thanks. I wasn't sure, but I was getting the two maybe confused. Thank you.
And as a reminder, that's star 1 if you would like to ask a question. We'll pause again for just a moment. And Ms. McCollum, it appears there are no questions at this time.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for taking time out of your busy schedules to attend One View, One Command, Simplify IMS. A very special thanks goes out to Janet and to Gary for being here today and being our speakers. If you should have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact me, and I will be glad to put you in touch with an IMS Tools sales rep or an IMS Tools technical specialist. Goodbye, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference today. We'd like to thank everybody for their participation. Have a great day.